The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
It's Gary Parrish. It's Wednesday, October 28, 2020. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me, and today we want to focus on the CBS Sports 2020-21 preseason All-America teams. They published on Tuesday. Go find them at CBSSports.com if you haven't already. Let me run you through them real quickly, then we will discuss. The first team, and I should point out, this was done by a panel of, I believe, writers and television personalities who work for CBS Sports. So, one of our extremely gifted editors, Marcus Nelson, compiled all the votes, and then this is what it spit out. First team, Jared Butler from Baylor, Ayo Dosunmu from Illinois, Cade Cunningham, Oklahoma State, Corey Kispert, Gonzaga, Luka Garza, Iowa. The second team, Marcus Zagorowski from Creighton, Remy Martin from Arizona State, Colin Gillespie from Villanova, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Villanova, Trace Jackson Davis, Indiana, and the third team, BJ Boston, Kentucky, Marcus Garrett, Kansas, Sam Hauser, Virginia, Garrison Brooks, North Carolina, and Evan Mobley from USC. The 15 players come from six different leagues, three each from the Big Ten, Big 12, and Big East, two each from the Pac-12 and ACC, and one each from the SEC and the WCC. The American Athletic Conference gets left out of the top seven leagues in America. Norlander, what, if anything, stands out about, let's just focus on the first team. What stands out about the first team? Is that is not your first team.
Who's to say it's not my first team?
Well, I am to say, because I looked at your ballot, it does not match. It does not match that first team.
Is that your first team? Is the CBS Sports first team the same five that you submitted?
No, I had Zagorowski on my first team and Corey Kispert on my second team. The other four I did have on my first team. So my first team is Jared Butler, Ayo Dosunmu, Cade Cunningham, Marcus Zagorowski, and Luka Garza. I had Corey Kispert on my second team.
And I had Corey Kispert on my first team. So like you, we each had four of the five. But you're right. I think we had either close to 10 or more than 10 people actually input their votes for this. So it is a widespread CBS representative list here. But obviously, like, Luka Garza and Cade Cunningham are the automatics of automatics. And then Ayo Dosunmu, I would put him right there with Jared Butler as right behind. And then I think that fifth spot, Kispert's on it. I had Kispert. I had Colin Gillespie of Villanova on my first team. Did you vote for Gillespie at all on team one, two, or three, or no?
I had Colin Gillespie on my second team.
Okay, you did. I didn't think that he was going to make first team, and as you mentioned, he did make second team there. And we'll get to that in a minute. But in terms of the first team, Garza is the overwhelming pick. I mean, it just goes without
saying. Impossible to put together a first team without Luka Garza on it. In fact, I would argue it's nonsensical, unless you were just trying to predict Cade Cunningham's going to be, you know, not a player like Kevin Durant, but productive like Kevin Durant in the Big 12. Unless you're predicting something like that, Luka Garza is the obvious preseason National Player of the Year and undeniable first-team All-American. I went back and looked at our CBSSports.com 2019-20 postseason All-America teams. 14 of the 15 players are no longer in college.
Amazing. Because I don't have it up. If you have it up, refresh. Let's just refresh the listeners here and just remind everyone of who was really good last season that we're just not going to have. Garza's the only one of the top 15 players in the sport who is actually returning to college basketball based on voting from us last year.
Yeah. So for another thing that I'm working on, I actually did look this up yesterday. So I do have it. The players we had.
Let me guess the first team real quick. Let me see.
Well, I don't have the first team in front of me.
Oh, okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Here's what I have. There were 15 players on three teams, five each, obviously. Nine of those 15, Luka Garza is the only one back in school. Nine of the 15 left school early, and five others exhausted their eligibility. In other words, they were seniors and now they're gone. So let's start with this. Trivia time. Name the seniors.
That were in the top 15?
Yep.
Oh, man. Azubuki?
Yes.
Pritchard at Oregon? Peyton Pritchard?
Correct.
How many are there?
Five. And by the way, three of the five were first-team All-Americans.
And was Azubuki first-team All-American?
Yes, yeah, for us he was.
Okay. Three more. I'm spinning my wheels. All from power conferences?
Yes. Okay. Who have you named so far? Pritchard and Azubuki?
Yeah, Pritchard and Azubuki.
okay, I'll give you a hint.
Hold on. Yeah, but don't spoil it for me here. No one at... Hold on.
Two of them played in the same league.
Okay, so there's no one... I'm spinning through... Oh, Cassius Winston, obviously, duh.
Yeah, at Michigan State.
Okay.
Yes. And then the other two played in the same league.
Okay. And then
you'll know it as soon as you know it.
I'll know it as soon as I know it.
It'll be obvious to you as soon as you know it.
All right. Who was a senior? This is why I love the podcast, though. I love running through this stuff in real time.
I'm sure it's riveting for the listeners.
It is riveting because you know what? They're playing along at home.
No, they've already answered this.
They've answered it, and they're screaming into their phones right now.
Come on, man.
Like when I think Big East guards that were awesome last year, I think Kamar Baldwin, but I don't think he's wise. Oh, Marcus Howard, obviously. Yes, oh, my yes. God, Miles Powell. There we go.
Marcus Howard Brutal. And Miles Powell. So those are the five seniors who were All-Americans for CBS Sports, obviously not back in school. There were nine underclassmen. Don't ever forget, Marcus Howard and Miles Powell were both Big East guards, and R.J. Hey, Barrett played at Duke once upon a time.
I'm not cheating. I'm not looking at anything. I'm literally trying to pull it off the top of my head. That ain't easy.
Okay. So now we had... nine underclassmen who were all Americans for CBS Sports, and they entered the NBA draft early. Name them. Trivia time.
Oh, God. Do we have to do this? Nine underclassmen?
Yep.
All Americans entered the draft.
Yeah. And you get 20 seconds to think of each one, and then I'll hint you.
I'm thinking about the good teams that were good. So Devon Dotson.
Correct. That's one.
Malachi Flynn.
Two.
Obi Toppin.
Three.
Who else was underclassmen that were good? Oh, Vernon Carey Jr.
Four.
Who else was like awesome as a freshman that would be in that mix? Awesome as a freshman, like.
How about this? I'm gonna help you.
None.
The other.
They're not freshmen.
Five are not freshmen.
Yeah. Okay. Any of the Florida State guys make that or no?
No.
Okay. Can't pick Miles Powell again, right?
Cannot take Miles Powell again.
Not allowed, huh?
Not allowed.
I got one for you. Did Daniel Oturu make that list?
Correct. You're up to five now. You got four left.
How about that? Any of these players on a team that's kind of random, like they might have been like a bubble team, and so they aren't like at the top of my... I'm trying to think of guys that were good teams.
All of these players were going to be in the NCAA tournament. And they all play at big name programs.
How many more do I have?
Four.
How about Jalen Smith at Maryland?
That's one of them. Now you're down to three left.
How about Jordan Wara at Louisville?
Nope.
Okay. Philip Petrusev at Gonzaga.
That's the one I thought you were going to forget, yeah. But he is there.
Yeah.
You've got two more, and they play at arguably the two biggest brands in the sport of college basketball.
Okay, so Did we really vote Maxey a top 15 player?
No, but one of his teammates was the SEC Player of the Year.
Quickly. Yep.
Yeah, man,
I got Maxey on my brain because we're going to do a thing on him. Okay, quickly, and then Duke would have been Trey Jones.
Correct. Okay. That's it. So Luka Garza is the only one back in school, which, by the way, is just the nature of the sport. No mainstream American sport has more turnover of its top-end talent year over year than college basketball. It's a byproduct of the players being allowed to enter their draft whenever they want after spending 1 year in college. In baseball, if you go to LSU, you're there for 3 years. In football, you go to Alabama, you're there for 3 years. In basketball, you go to Kentucky, you can leave whenever you want to leave. And so I know that sounds wild that Luka Garza is the only first team, second team, or third team All-America back in school, but that's actually usually the way it goes.
Yeah, and we'll save some preseason award stuff for the back end of this podcast here. But so yeah, Butler, Garza, Dosunmu, Cunningham, Kispert is our first team. And I did put Kispert on the first team there. Gillespie was the one that I had on first team that didn't make it there. Kispert, I just expect him to be... Gonzaga has a ton of talent here. Jalen Suggs is coming in. They'll be good, but I'm thinking Kispert's like a 20. I'm expecting Kispert to be a 20-point-a-game guy for a Gonzaga team that, again, if the schedule can be relatively stable, so to speak, this is all in hypotheticals, but he's going to be the best player on a team that's top five. So to me, that's why I put him on the first team, and sure, he should be there. Jared Butler is the one, I'll be honest, Jared Butler is the guy that I didn't put there. I put him on my second team. And I put Butler on the second team because I don't know if he's going to – like, Baylor should be really, really good. But I have high confidence in Cunningham, Kispert, Dosunmu. Even though Dosunmu's got Kofi Coburn, who did not make our second or third team, and Garza. Garza, Dosunmu, Cunningham, Kispert. I think they're all going to, like, be stat monsters on really good teams. Butler's also going to get numbers, but, like, he's got enough around him. Maceo Teague is – like, on a given night, Maceo Teague can outscore Butler. And when Butler had to sit out a few games last season, and Maceo Teague got hurt as well. But Maceo Teague actually had a stretch where he was Baylor's best scorer for, like, 2, 3, 4 weeks. So that was what I resisted on that. If you told me he wasn't that, it wouldn't be shocking. But easily, Jared Butler has to be evaluated as a top 10 player in college basketball heading into this season.
On Butler, I think more than any other person on our first team, and I voted him first team, so I subscribed. He's mostly there based on, well, he's the best player on a great team.
Yeah.
That's the rationale for Jared Butler, isn't it? He's just like, well, correct. God, you got to have, who's Baylor's best player? I'm putting him on the first
correct.
Team.
Which, to be fair, like, so the interpretation of the voting is up to each voter, but when I do first, second, and third team for All-Americans, and we'll get to this with my person on my third team, I try and blend it with, like, you're on a good team, but if I think that you're going to be an absolute stat monster, then I think, like, I won't vote for you for player of the year if you're on, like, a 9 seed, but I'll consider you for All-American. Like, you should be acknowledged and rewarded if you are consistently just an outrageously productive player. And inversely, if I think you're a good player, but you're not just, you know, you're not putting up the numbers, then I'm not going to put you on first team just because you're the best player on a top three team. I don't award All-America teams based on that. I award my voting for player of the year based on that, but I do think there's a discernible difference between the two.
Our second team was Marcus Zegarowski, Remy Martin, Colin Gillespie, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Trace Jackson Davis. So this is interesting because I did not have two of those guys on any of my teams. I didn't have Jeremiah Robinson Earl. I didn't have Trace Jackson Davis. Obviously, Trace Jackson Davis is going to put up ridiculous numbers. Maybe it's not obvious. I think he is. Mm-hmm. But how good is Indiana going to be? You know, like, you know, well, I'm not sure of that.
Okay. So when you say that, it's a couple things here. First of all,
let me be clear. I considered him, like, I put together like a list of 20 and he was on that list, but when I cut it to 15, he did not make the cut.
All right. So let's just do one step at a time here. When you say that, like, how good is Indiana going to be? He is the best returning sophomore big in college basketball. He was ultra reliable, and I would even argue that he wasn't even used to his full potential as a freshman, which is no shot at Archie. I mean, he was a freshman, so I think that he's going to be that much better. I did have him on my second team. My second team was, as previously mentioned, Jared Butler, Trace Jackson Davis, Marcus Zegarowski. So those lined up exactly. Then I had Sam Hauser, who you previously mentioned is on our third team. And then just like you, didn't you say you had a second team? Didn't you say you had a second team person that didn't even make the team? Someone that you submitted for your second team that didn't make any?
I think we both had three people that we listed that did not make any team, and all three of mine are on my third team.
Okay, so I got one on my second team. I think Oscar Tshiebwe is right there with Trayce Jackson-Davis in terms of like the best returning bigs. I think he is going to be I'm way high on West Virginia, and I'm telling you, like, I think Tshiebwe is going to be like an 18 and 14 guy.
He was the last person I cut.
Yes. I am so in on this dude, man. He is smart. I was surprised he didn't go to the NBA, to be honest. Like, I understand why he didn't, but if he would win, I thought he would have gotten drafted. So I put him on my second team. Oscar Tshiebwe is not on our first, second, or third team. I'm highly confident that when we get to the end of the season, barring injury or just schedule weirdness that prevents it, like, Tshiebwe is going to be a first, second, or third team All-American. So he's the only name that I was surprised did not make the list. I'm just trying to think. I don't think I voted. I'm rechecking what I sent you. Yeah, no, I didn't vote for Remy Martin on my first, second, or third team. He's on our second team. Did you have Remy on your second or your third team?
I had Remy Martin on my second team. My second team was Colin Gillespie, Remy Martin, Corey Kispert, Sam Hauser, and Garrison Brooks.
Okay, so Remy Martin is going to be, and we're not going to...
He's just going to score big number points for a top 25 team.
He is, but he's erratic. So I think, and he's fun as hell. Like, he really is. I think he's just... The ceiling and floor gap for Remy Martin for a great player is just, it might be as wide as any player in college basketball this season. And just having talked to some Pac-12 coaches in the past 2 weeks or so, they think that Remy Martin, if it all works, he's the best player in the league. But I heard all sorts of other guys that could be better at the end of the season. Stanford alone might have two. I mean, if Zaire Williams, a freshman, hits, he's the best player. Oscar Da Silva, his own teammate, who's a big, totally different kind of player. Chris Smith at UCLA, also absolutely in the mix there. So just keep that in mind. I don't think Oregon has a player that's better than Remy Martin. But he made our second team. I like it. Arizona State's only been a preseason top 25 team four times in its history. It's amazing. This will be the fifth year when that AP top 25 comes out. ASU's a lock to be in the top 25 there. So I like the variety there. And his highs are high. But, I mean, I'm telling you right now, I have so much more confidence in Zegarowski, Gillespie, Jackson Davis. You and I are in agreement. Neither of us voted for Jeremiah Robinson Earl for our All-America teams, right?
I did not. He is the one person we have in common that we did not vote for. And I'm not saying he shouldn't be considered, but I was surprised that he was included, and also surprised that if we were going to pick one team to have two preseason All-Americans, I would not have thought it would have been Villanova. I would have probably thought it would have been Illinois.
Illinois. But actually, I'm not surprised by that. I didn't vote for him either. I think Gillespie is just going to clearly be, he's the leader. He facilitates everything. Robinson Earl is a great talent. He's going to leave after this year and go to the NBA. But this is why, like, I've mentioned on the podcast, but I'm going to have Villanova as my number one team when the rankings come out there. And it's because I do agree that Illinois has the best 1-2, but I would put Villanova right behind him with Gillespie and Robinson Earl. I just don't think that he's going, like, Villanova, I love his number one team because of how much they have in total. So it's not a bad pick, but if Villanova is the best team at the end of the season and they're like the number one overall seed, then yes, in that situation, Gillespie and Robinson Earl could both be represented on All-America teams. We've got them both on the second team, but I was surprised by his inclusion there. Our second team, I didn't expect to see what I see on there. Frankly, I thought Zegarowski was going to have enough to get on the first, but I personally had him on the second, so hell, I agree with it. But if you're a Nova fan, like, yes, clearly be geared up for this because you do have a stacked team, and I do like what you have more than any other. Parrish is right there with me. It's just the difference is minor. Like, I think you got Nova third. I got him first. So
right. You're going to see Gonzaga, Baylor, Villanova probably in any order at the top of most people's ballots or rankings. It's a minor thing. I get frustrated when people tweet me. Like, I tweet the top 25 and one, and they go, "That's a stupid poll." I'm like, it's not a poll. It's just my rankings. I didn't poll anybody. It's just me. Again, I'm the only one that notices, but it's
no,
not
I hear you, man. As someone who cares about grammar and actual word meaning, I know I hear you 100%.
It's not a poll. So most people's ballots or rankings are going to have, you know, Gonzaga, Baylor, Villanova in some order, I would assume. 1, 2, 3. And you could have them in any order. This isn't one where I have Gonzaga 1, you have Villanova 1, and I'm going to sit here and have a 45-minute argument with you about it, or even a 4-minute argument. It's totally reasonable. They're all similarly talented on paper. So Villanova has 2 second-team All-Americans, CBS Sports, and it is the only school that had 2 All-Americans listed. Our third team is BJ Boston, Kentucky, Marcus Garrett, Kansas, Sam Hauser, Virginia, Garrison Brooks, North Carolina, and Evan Mobley from USC. And that means that is a team that has 2 players. No, just one, maybe just one player that I did not have. I did not have Marcus Garrett. In fact, let me just put it this way. I didn't have Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Trace Jackson Davis, or Marcus Garrett on any of my teams. Those are the 3 that made it that I didn't list. And the 3 that you, that made it that you didn't list were Remy Martin, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, and BJ Boston.
That's right. I'm surprised you didn't go Garrett. Now, Marcus Garrett was the defensive player of the year last season in college basketball. I included him because I think that means a lot, and he's also going to be Kansas's most important player. He's going to be asked to run the point. We'll see how that experiment goes, but if you tell me that Kansas can be Kansas and be a top 8 team, and Marcus Garrett's the best player on the team, he's going to be an All-American just as a function of how he's not going to get worse on defense. And if he can get better on offense, that's why I put him there. I will say the one... so. I put Garrison Brooks on my third team, and I did it because he's the leading returning scorer of any player in the ACC, and Carolina should be better. But I'm not like, I did it, but I'm not convinced. Like, I had Sam Hauser on my second team. I think Sam Hauser is going to step in and change the fingerprint of Virginia on offense, and it's going to make Virginia in the running to be a 1 seed, and he's just going to be a total, I mean, he's a transfer, he's going to step in. I just think he's going to be huge for that offense. And so I was, you know, I like to take a chance here or there, so I put Hauser on the second team. And hell, for all, I don't know how this all was calculated, but maybe me putting him on the second team ensured that he wound up even on the third team, although you said you also voted for him. Mobley, go ahead.
I had Sam Hauser on my second team as well.
Okay, perfect. So there we go. So we might have actually ensured that he actually got onto this team to begin with. I like to hear that. I think that he's going to be a really, really good player for Tony this year. Mobley is the only freshman who can conceivably challenge heading into the season. Once we get games in, I understand things change. But like just... and I'm basing this based off of not just having seen these players, but talking to recruiting analysts and people. It's just Mobley is the only guy that really is in Cunningham's orbit to challenge him. And so that it makes sense to me that he's on the third team. I don't think BJ Boston's there. I actually think Terrence Clark's going to be Kentucky's best player this season more than BJ Boston. BJ Boston may lead the team in scoring, so I get why he's there. I just find him to be, again, this is not a knock. Like, Kentucky's got a lot of talent. GP, I think, just put him in their top 10 because they got Olivier Sarr eligible. I also expect, I haven't finished it, but I expect I'm going to have Kentucky in my top 10 on my 1-357.
Just to set, I have Kentucky 13th. I've got him spot behind Tennessee.
Okay, fair enough. And I don't know if I'm behind Tennessee, but I'll tell you this, like on the starting day of the season, Tennessee is going to have the best starting 5 in the league. Like that's going to be the case. Like maybe Kentucky gets there, but you play Kentucky versus Tennessee on November 25th. And I don't know who they'd be favored, but I'm telling you, I would take Tennessee on that day. But anyway, Boston being on the third team, like I'll tell you this, like if we had a fourth team, I wouldn't put BJ Boston on there. If we had a fourth team, I probably would put Terrence Clark, but I didn't vote for any Kentucky player there. And that's not abnormal with what we've seen. Like, in some recent seasons, like Quickly got awesome, but he was not a freshman when he got awesome. Like he really developed into something. Yes, obviously there have been some Kentucky freshmen that have stepped up, but the only freshmen we have on our teams are Cunningham, Mobley, and Boston. And to me, the difference between Mobley and Boston heading into the season is fairly sizable.
I think the reason BJ Boston gets included is that he's the highest ranked Kentucky prospect. So like, you know, a lot of people just were like, who is Kentucky's highest rated incoming player? BJ Boston. Cool. I'll make him an All-American.
I think there's something to that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's that. What I find most interesting about that is that he is the only SEC player that got on an All-America team. But when we took our votes for SEC preseason player of the year, it was not BJ Boston. Do you know who it was?
Eve Ponce?
Nope.
Dude, who was it?
Keep guessing. It's trivia time.
This published when I was on vacation, so I admittedly did not read it. There's no one on Kentucky. Ponds would have to be the Tennessee pick. Arkansas, like, has there's no one but new players on Arkansas. Bama brings back Herb Jones and John Petty. It's not one of those, right? It's not a Bama.
Plays at Florida.
Oh, Keontae Johnson.
It's Keontae Johnson voted SEC Player of the Year, but BJ Boston is the only SEC player that made our All-American team. Now, I should point out, it's a different panel of voters.
It is.
It was just .com people who handled the SEC preview. We brought in other people for the All-America team, so that's the explanation there. But I've already mentioned the players I don't have that made it, Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, Trace Jackson-Davis, Marcus Garrett, the players I voted for that didn't make any team. Trendon Watford.
Interesting.
John Fulkerson.
Whoa.
And Jalen Crutcher.
So you think, shouts to Killian Tilly's half-brother, you think Fulkerson's going to be a better player than Pons?
I voted John Fulkerson preseason SEC Player of the Year.
All right. Listen,
I think he's going to be Tennessee's best player, and I think Tennessee's going to be the best team in the SEC.
Okay. To be clear to listeners, like, that is an abnormal. I like the variety with Parrish right there, because you normally, to me, that's a little outside the box. I want more of that. Now, you're not willing to go as outside the box as me, because before we started doing this podcast, your exact words were, you voted for a f***ing roadrunner on your list. And you're right. I did vote for a f***ing roadrunner. I'll get to him in a second. My third team was Evan Mobley, Marcus Garrett, Garrison Brooks, Kofi Coburn, Illinois big man, who I think is going to be a stat monster, Illinois potentially top five. I think that he's got a really good shot. And then, yes, Javon Jackson, a roadrunner at UTSA. Here's why. I like to give a little bit of love to some of the smaller school guys. He was the leading scorer in America last season, by the way, okay? So I think he could legitimately put up 30 points a game, which the last time we saw it, camel fighting, Chris Clemens, Campbell, like, he's going to be the first guy to do it since then, and there's only been, like, three guys that have done it in the past 30 years here. So he led the nation in three-pointers in points last season, high-volume player. I'll tell you right now, if we get to the end of the season and Javon Jackson is averaging 30 points a game, like, I'm going to vote him for third team. I don't care what level you play at. If you can consistently put up 30 a game, you're getting an All-American vote from me. So I expect him to be close to that, and I did want to have a little bit of variety. I knew there was no shot he was going to make our team, but I wanted to give him some love. So Javon Jackson was my pick. Who was your go ahead.
Do you know Javon Jackson's nickname?
I don't. But if you actually know it, that's insane.
So last night I'm doing prep for this, and I'm going through your ballot, and I'm like, this dude voted for a roadrunner. So I was like, well, let me see what's up. So I started Googling Javon Jackson's nickname. He's Puerto Rican Iverson.
No,
that's what they call him, Puerto Rican Iverson.
Hey, I like it, man. He is...
He's the Puerto Rican Iverson.
And out of CUSA. I don't know if they're going to win the league or anything like that. They're not the favorite, but he just fills it up and has consistently. So I do like to have a little bit of creativity and give a valid vote to someone who puts it up. Like, if he was going to average 24, he wouldn't have gotten my vote. But he, like, literally might average 30. And that's hard to do at the D1 level. Even GP, why am I blanking here? I was going to say Trey Jones. Trey Young. Even Trey Young at Oklahoma, at the end of the season, like, he didn't maintain that. So
Trey Young is not the Puerto Rican Iverson?
I know, he's not. He's absolutely not. Javon Jackson 100% is, and so he got my vote. So Fulkerson, what is your third team again? I thought you had another curveball in there.
My third team was Jalen Crutcher, BJ Boston, Trendon Watford, John Fulkerson, and Evan Mobley. So
Crutcher.
So Jalen Crutcher, like, listen, we'll see how good Dayton's going to be post Obi Toppin, but Jalen Crutcher was awesome last season. Like it got overshadowed because, like, you know, he's playing with the National Player of the Year. Jalen Crutcher was really, really good. And so I think Jalen Crutcher could be A-10 Player of the Year. And if you're A-10 Player of the Year, you're going to get All-America consideration. So I went with Jalen Crutcher on that third team. Back to Fulkerson for a second. I do know that I'm probably the only person who listed John Fulkerson, but he averaged 13.7 points and 5.9 rebounds in 30.1 minutes per game last season, shot 61.2% from the field, 74.8% from the free throw line. And then here's what really stands out. He averaged 20.8 points in UT's last four games. Now you might go, okay, it's four games, small sample size, fine. Last 10 games, 18.3 points. He got really productive as the season went on. Now, Tennessee's enrolling 2 5-star freshmen, which is, and both are probably one and done first round picks. And that's why I've got Tennessee ranked higher than Kentucky, and Tennessee is the favorite to win the SEC. But I do think it is possible, because this happens sometimes. John Fulkerson will not be Tennessee's best NBA prospect. I'm not even sure he's an NBA prospect, but he could be their best college player. And if he's their best college player and Tennessee's as good as I think, he's going to end up being an All-American.
That's I like it. That's very fascinating. And Tennessee is set up to be a quality team.
I love this Tennessee team.
They look really, really good. They do. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to put them or Kentucky first. I really got to like kind of burrow in the coming day here or so to figure that out as I finish out my 1-357. I usually save like the top 40 teams for last, but yeah, that's something to consider there. We also had our awards. You might as well touch on this as we wrap the pod. In my opinion, the only player that you could give legitimate consideration to is Cunningham, because I think he is going to be that good, and he could, like, Oklahoma State is a preseason first teamer. Like, he is the projected number one overall pick in next year's draft. Dasuma's got Coburn to take away some production of votes, if you will. Butler's got Macy Oteigan. Oh, by the way, just defensively, like they got Mark Vidal. Like Baylor's got a lot of stuff happening there. Kispert is good, but you know, Drew Timmy, I didn't consider him, but Drew Timmy like could be a top 25 player in college basketball this year as well. Cunningham has no one else. Garza, yes, they have other options. That offense is incredible, but he is going to be as consensus of a preseason player of the year as we've had in the past decade, GP.
Yeah, so the player of the year, was Luka Garza, coach of the year, Mark Few, freshman of the year, Cade Cunningham. To me, player of the year is always easy. It doesn't mean we always get it right, but like you know who to pick. It's either the best freshman or the best returning player on a nationally relevant team. And then freshman of the year is usually just, okay, what guy's projected to be the number one pick next year? Let's make him that. That's Cade Cunningham. That's easy. You could make an argument for Evan Mobley, but I agree. It should be Cade Cunningham. Coach of the year is always, like, how do you do a preseason coach of the year? That's always tough for me. So, like, when I turned in my ballot,
yeah,
I literally just took the coaches of the number one, number two, and number three team. We had to turn in a three-coach ballot. I just went with the coaches of the top three teams in the top 25 and one in that order. So I went Mark Few, Scott Drew, Jay Wright. But that's the one. I don't know that there's a proper way, because what coach of the year usually is somebody who wildly overachieved relative to preseason expectations. Mm-hmm. That's the guy who is usually postseason coach of the year. But how do you account for that in the preseason? I don't know. So I just make it easy.
I tried to project. So basically, like some sort of weird combination of, all right, you've built something and you've ascended to a spot you normally wouldn't be, or your circumstances aren't such that, like, you have a lot returning last year to benefit you. So Mark Few won. He did not get my votes. Brad Underwood was my number one. And then me expecting Arizona State to win the Pac-12. I don't know if Arizona State has ever been a preseason favorite to win the league. And they still might not be, by the way. Like, that could go to UCLA, could go to Oregon. But I think
I would have Oregon.
Yeah, I'm going to have Arizona State as the best team in the league. So Bobby Hurley was my number two. And then given what Tennessee has, I did have Rick Barnes three, because although I'm not going to have Tennessee, I don't think I'm going to have him in my like top eight. I don't think so, but I do think that they can get there. I just put Barnes three. No, I didn't think he'd get a lot of votes. And so but to me it was Underwood for sure. Like, Underwood has now built up Illinois to the point where it's going to be locked top 10, and in some cases top 5 for some teams, and he got his players back. If Illinois is in a one-seed conversation, so he Underwood was my pick, but he didn't win it. Mark Few did.
This is where I think sometimes people lose perspective, and I'm not blaming you, but like your justification for Brad Underwood is he has built Illinois into a sure bet top 10 team. Mark Few has built a West Coast Conference program into a sure bet top 3 team and perennially.
I know.
A perennial
top. Well, if that's the case, though, shouldn't Mark Few win it every single year?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
I think when you take a step back and realize that this dude has built a West Coast Conference program into a national power, he should be Coach of the Year every year.
Preseason Coach of the Year is the most meaningless one because when we get to the end of the season, unless you're undefeated or have one loss, so if Baylor's undefeated, Scott Drew's going to win it. But like if Baylor is a one seed but it has 3 losses, it's like the 4th one seed. Scott Drew's probably not going to win it. But if Illinois is a one seed, Brad Underwood will win it. We would acknowledge that, right? Because Illinois is the better story. It's the same thing with the NBA MVP voting. They look for a better story. LeBron James should win it every single season, but he doesn't because they look for the new thing, right? Same deal.
Well, I guess I would say this.
LeBron James is still the most valuable player in the NBA. He should win the MVP every single season, but he doesn't because we've gotten so accustomed to his greatness.
Listen, you and I are on the same page here. LeBron James is the most valuable player in the NBA, and it has been that way for a long time without exception. So if you just wanted to stop right there, who's the most valuable player? Oh, it's LeBron James. Boom, here's my ballot. That's what I would do. But the argument for other people past 2 years, Giannis Antetokounmpo, is that statistically speaking, Giannis did have a better regular season and his team did have a better record. Like if you're going to say who's the best player on the best team with the best numbers, player efficiency rating, all of that stuff, the statistical vote was clearly for Giannis this past season. But if you just say, I don't care about any of that stuff, who's the most valuable player? Who do I want on my team? It's LeBron. Like that's the way the LeBron thing gets chopped up, is that you start relying on you start voting for MVP in the NBA the way people do it in Major League Baseball, which is they make a statistical analysis of who was the best while losing sight of who's actually the most valuable. I think that's what's cost LeBron James multiple MVP awards. Coach of the Year, it is, you know, I've said this before, Billy Donovan had 2 national titles before he ever won a single SEC Coach of the Year award. Like, that's insane.
I know.
But the if your goal is to win Coach of the Year in college basketball, here's what you need to do. Listen up if you're trying to stack awards. You have to not recruit and then coach your team up, or inherit a bad situation and then overachieve. To this point, can you name the last 2 SEC Coach of the Years?
No shot. I mean, I know that they're not Bruce Pearl and Will Wade because they don't get voted for it. So I know, like, you can make a case those should be the last 2, but I know it's not them.
Last year it was Buzz Williams at Texas A&M.
If you gave me 5 guesses, he probably wouldn't have been in my top 5.
And year before that, it was Kermit Davis at Ole Miss.
Yeah, there we go.
That's how you win Coach of the Year awards. You take over a bad situation, or you create a bad situation, and then you make it respectable. And they'll give you trophies. It's weird. It's a weird thing.
All right, last thing, and we can get out of here. Because I remember we talked about this exact thing I'm going to bring up on last year's pod when we talked about our All-Americans. Who is the one player? I guess your pick is Shibwe because you didn't vote for him, and he's on our list. I was going to say, who's the one player that's both not on the CBS first, second, or third team, and also not a player that you or I voted for, period, that is most likely to make us look silly? Maybe it is. Maybe we brought him up. Keontae Johnson at Florida. But the other one that I would bring up, and if it's not him, I'm curious if you have another nominee. I was kind of scanning through the teams. I'm looking in my top 20. The only other one, like, we don't have a Duke guy. And, like, if Duke is top 10 quality, which I'm not in on at this moment, but if they are, and then Matthew Hurt suddenly, like, pops and is dropping 19 a game, like, it might be him. But otherwise, I think we covered just Keontae Johnson's probably the guy. But I wonder if there's another one that either you and I both didn't vote on and is not in our list that would be most likely to make us look silly.
Okay, the guys that usually do it, it's not usually a freshman who comes out of nowhere. Although Trae Young was kind of a freshman who, like, nobody. Trae Young was a 5-star point guard coming out of high. He was not expected to go do what he did at Oklahoma from a statistical perspective. So it happens sometimes, but that's not usually where we get surprised. It's usually, oh my God, Luka Garza is doing this? What? Like Luka Garza kind of came out of nowhere.
Yes.
So if you're trying to identify somebody who can kind of, you know, go from good college player to whoa, I think Matthew Hurt is a reasonable candidate for that. You know, just as a sophomore. Chris Duarte at Oregon.
Maybe.
I could see. I don't know. He's like way out there, and I don't think he's going to average 24 points per game.
No Pritchard. I'm a little shifty on Oregon with no Pritchard this year.
But I could see him being the Pac-12 Player of the Year. And if you're a Pac-12 Player of the Year, you are, you know, you're going to, you know, be in an All-America conversation. If the question is as simple as who's the guy I didn't vote for, who I think I'll regret, Shibuya is that guy. The guy we didn't have listed, who I think will be listed postseason, I'd go back to the homie John Fulkerson.
This is going to be an all-time call that we'll never hear the end of if you wind up being right.
I want to be right about John Fulkerson.
I know. Plus, John Fulkerson, he sounds like he was a predominant member of a Southern rock act in the 70s. Like, I absolutely love it.
John Fulkerson sounds like he sounds like a member of the Traveling Wilburys.
I do like that. Can you name, trivia time?
Okay.
Can you name all five Traveling Wilburys?
Well, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty.
The two easiest ones. There's actually a third super easy one, but yes. This is like the Fab Five of music, by the way. Everyone knows Jalen Rose, Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, Jimmy King, and then everyone
forgets. Ray Jackson.
Correct. But everyone forgets Ray Jackson.
No cheating. I would never forget Ray Jackson.
No cheating. Can you name all five Traveling Wilburys? You got to? There's a third super easy one.
Who is the first person you think of when you think of Traveling Wilburys? For me, it's Tom Petty.
To me, it's Dylan. But yeah.
Okay.
Because Dylan's the most famous one. You're trying to filibuster here.
Bob Dylan is the most famous.
Actually arguable. But yes, the one that you haven't mentioned.
George Harrison.
Correct. That's a good question. Who's more famous? Dylan's more famous, but it's super close.
Famous than George Harrison, but George Harrison's a Beatle.
That's correct. Okay. The other two. Can you get there? If you can't, there's no shame in it. One of them has what I would qualify as probably one of the 10 most recognizable voices in the history of, you know, American music, just because, you know, he was very influential when he came up, and then he was in the Wilburys in the later stages of his life.
Roy Orbison.
Correct. No, are you cheating?
No, but because I'm scrambling for the fifth, I cannot get it.
The fifth is the toughest one. The Ray Jackson of them all. Came up with ELO, one Jeff Lynne. Lynne is the fifth one. So Traveling Wilburys, a super group that actually worked out. Like that, they did some good stuff there.
Isn't Jeff Lynne in the famous Prince, Tom Petty?
Yeah, he's one of many. In that. But yes, I think you're right about that. The famous Prince Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The Prince Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where Prince is on the guitar.
Right.
And I think Jeff Lynne is on stage with him.
I think you're correct about that. But
I think that's my best memory of Jeff Lynne is watching him watch Prince play the guitar.
Fair enough. I'm going to invoke some more music-related trivia times on the podcast for this season. I think that's definitely a goal of mine. Although, you know, ELO, they're all right. Like, I'm not, like, totally down with the Electric Light Orchestra. But here and there, like, you know, I can do it from time to time. You don't seem like an ELO dude, though.
I don't want to say I'm not a fan, because that implies I don't like them. I've never really jumped in.
They're sneaky here and there. But anyway,
I don't even know what we're talking. What is this podcast about?
I think it was about John Fulkerson being part of the Traveling Wilburys and making his way onto your third-team All-American. We can get out of here.
Shouts to Devin Dowdy. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry, MF, and Teagle. He's a legend. Shouts to Larnell. Thank you guys for listening to the Iron College Basketball Podcast. Once again, in the middle of the dumbest pandemic of my lifetime. If you enjoy it, please tell somebody about it. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe. Anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, please go do that. I'd appreciate it. And we will talk to you again tomorrow. Till then, take care.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.